Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, if you look at the eclipse, why is it taking place? Why is it taking place? Allah says in the Quran that these are signs that Allah frightens His servants with. Allah says, and we sent not the signs except to warn and to make them afraid of destruction. So Allah sends these signs to frighten people and to show and display His might and power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one would say, why would Allah frighten people? It is simple, because Allah Azza wa Jal is so powerful and people are so ignorant. No matter how many times you tell them, paradise is this beautiful, paradise has this, paradise has that, would this deter them from doing sins? But the minute you tell them, whoever does this, he's going to be soaked in hell and boiling oil and his flesh is going to fall, would this deter them from doing sin? Immediately, yes. The minute you want to approach, nope. Why? Because human nature. People are driven by fear more than they're driven by hope. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal sends us a wake-up call every now and then for our own good. These calamities, these catastrophes, these appalling things that are happening to the Muslims, they can be punishment. So if there's an earthquake, if there's a tsunami, if there's a volcano, if there's a tornado, if there's floods, this might be one, a punishment because of your sins. As Allah indicated in the Quran, that whatever calamity befalls upon you, it is of your own doing. And it can be a test. It's not a punishment. But as you know, that why did Allah create death and life? To test you. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. To test you, who among you is the best of deeds or qualities. So it can be a test. And life is a test. And do you expect that you get your payroll check at the end of the month, and you're healthy, and your family is healthy, and your neighbors are kind, and your wife is loving and caring, and your children are disciplined and all hafiz of Quran, and you can pray five times in the masjid and nothing happens to you, and fast, nothing happens to you, and live like this for 60 years and then pass away in peace? This is not the case. Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think that people would be let alone to say that we believe without them being tested? No. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We have tested those who were before them. And by Allah, Allah will know those who are truthful, and Allah would know those who are telling lies. So it can be a punishment, it can be a test, and it can be to reward you with it, raising your level in paradise. So whatever calamity befalls upon you, it's for your goodness. And therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal frightens the people. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that part of frightening the people is the eclipse. When you see that these great, huge, large planets or stars, all of a sudden the light disappears, the light go. When you see this, you believe and you fear Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the only one who has the power to do this. One might claim and say, we all know when the eclipse takes place, so what's so special? Astronomers know exactly by time and by the hour when it's going to happen. So where is the factor of threatening or making us frightened? Scholars say, due to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal had set sunnah and a procedure for everything that it cannot go or divert or deviate from, this does not mean that it is not part of Allah's threatening us or frightening us. I'll give you an example. Eclipse takes place in two ways. In the way that Allah has created it, and in the religion that Allah has told us to be afraid of such a thing. And therefore, we should not mix them two together, because Allah has set rules and regulations for the universe to go by. We are instructed not to look at these rules and regulations. We're instructed to look at what Islam, Quran and Sunnah tell us to do. And Islam tells us to do is when we see the eclipse that we hasten to the masjid. We give sadaqah, charity. We seek Allah's forgiveness. We repent and we pray. And we feel fearful as our Prophet was afraid when he saw the eclipse. However, if we do not see the eclipse, we do not react. Meaning, if the astronomers told us that today at 9 o'clock p.m., there will be a full eclipse of the moon, and all of the scientists agreed on this, we believe them. 10 minutes to 9, we look up and the sky is filled with clouds. We are unable to see the moon. How many rak'ahs do we pray? None. We pray nothing. Why? Because the eclipse to us did not take place. Although the scientists say it's taking place now. Therefore, what they say does not affect our fear to Allah Azza wa Jal. When they tell us that volcanoes are a natural thing, the plates separate a little bit, earthquakes take place, the lava comes out, and all hell breaks loose. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. On earth. So when volcanoes happen, are you intimidated and afraid? Or, no, this is scientific. What would happen? You run like a crazy man. Because if you don't, you're gonna burn to death. And that is why we pay no attention to the clarification of science if it affects our iman. We know that these two big, huge creations of Allah are signs. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal every now and then deprives them from their light by the moon coming in front of the sun, or by the earth coming between the moon and the sun. And this only happens by the will of Allah and by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we believe in it and we pay no attention to the calculations of astronomers and the likes. Besides, we pray, but when do we start our prayer? When the eclipse starts. When are we supposed to conclude our prayer? When the eclipse ends. And do we know when the eclipse ends? No. Therefore, the imam is supposed to pray until someone signifies to him or tells him that, listen, that the eclipse is over. Or he feels that the eclipse is about to be over. So if you have any questions,
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. As you mentioned that the calamity can be a test and a punishment. So how can we differentiate whether a person has been through punishment or a test so that he can observe, take heed or be a patient?
You cannot identify, because any Muslim, when a calamity befalls upon him, the first thing he would do is attribute this to his sins. And no one of us claims that, alhamdulillah, I have no sins, so this calamity is definitely a test from Allah or raising my degree in paradise. This can happen to the Prophet alayhi salam, because we know that calamities hit the Prophet alayhi salam most. Did it not? The Prophet used to get sick as strong as two of us do. As in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, when he visited the Prophet and he put his hand on his chest and it was boiling. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, we talk among each other that you are tested twice as much as we do. He said, yes, I get sick as two of you get sick. Because the greatest among people in testing and calamities are the prophets. Then the righteous, the people according to their commitment and to their righteousness. So whatever happens to the prophet is not erasing his sins, and it is not a punishment, it is raising his level and status at the side of Allah. When it happens to us, the majority of us have a lot of sins. So it is a punishment and a form of erasing it. Those who are so pious and righteous and mashallah, they're considered to be among the closest to Allah, we would consider it to them to be a test or elevating their level in paradise. Yes, brother, there.
I want to ask that visiting the graves is allowed on the day of Eid?
This is a good question. What's the ruling on visiting the graveyards, visiting the graves of loved ones on Eid? This is a practice that is well known in the Arab world, and I think also in the Muslim world in generally speaking, this is an innovation. Connecting, visiting the graveyard with Eid is an innovation that it is not permissible. You're allowed to visit the graveyard anytime, but associating it with Eid as if the deceased would feel happy and they would also celebrate Eid in their graves and put something to decorate this, this is not part of the Sunnah and it is an innovation. Yes, brother.
Is it so that if we get punished here, we won't be punished in year after?
Allah Azza wa Jal is the most generous of all. If Allah punishes you on earth for a sin, He will not punish you for it on the day after. But we do not know the amount of sins we have. However, it is well known that if a person commits a crime, a major sin, and the prescribed punishment is being implemented, then Allah would not punish him for that major sin. Example, a person steals and they capture him and they cut off his hand. Allah would not punish him on the Day of Judgment. Ma'iz ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, when he fornicated, he came to the Prophet and said, purify me. And the Prophet stoned him to death. He would not be punished because he was purified on earth. And that is why there is a hadith which says, Allah is more generous that He would never ever combine two punishment on the same crime. This is known in legal terminology, double jeopardy. You will not be tried twice. So Allah Azza wa Jal, with His grace and generosity, punishes you on earth, He will not punish you for it on the Day of Judgment. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.